One. Welcome to the No Disqualifications Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Tay.
And we are back. It's been a month and a week or so.
Some days, some seconds, some minutes.
Last time we were here, it was Money in the Bank 2022. Now we're back with SummerSlam 2022.
Yes.
Hailing from Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
And we were there.
Yes, we were. So was Luke Bryan.
Yeah,
Luke. His theme song every some odd 5 minutes.
God, what was that song?
Get down! Something now! Broadway! Beer, cowboy hats.
Broadway. Boots,
spurs,
kiss my
Nashville
sister.
Hot chicken.
Oh, I had some Nashville hot chicken this past weekend. No, but we were there. Mm-hmm. Me, you, mm-hmm. Laszlo.
Who we have yet to see because he took his brother down a country back road out in Davidson County when we left, and we haven't heard from him since. So if you have any information about this individual, please contact us at No Disqualification Podcast. Leave a comment.
So yeah, he's missing. I've been doing some weird stuff, some things that probably aren't legal in some states. So he's been gone.
Yeah, typical New York ancestry stuff. Nothing.
But nonetheless, we're here and we were there, and Nashville, mm-hmm. Nissan Stadium.
Home of the Tennessee Titans.
Attendance was 48,449.
Yes, it was pretty dope. It looked pretty packed out. You know what I'm saying? Granted, you know, they have half the stadium roped off, you know, due to their production team or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So from the camera side, it looked pretty dope.
It was pretty packed out. And I mean, to kind of give you guys an idea of what we did that day, we left Knoxville. We're about 2.5 hour drives. So we left Knoxville at like, what, 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
We stopped at Bucky's, which was just not worth stopping at Bucky's.
Yeah.
And we walked around downtown and went to the Superstore, which was kind of nice. It was cool seeing, like, stuff decked out for them. So we didn't meet any wrestlers or anything like that. But we saw around downtown Nashville. We went to the Taco Bell Cantina. Mm-hmm. And then we waited in line for an hour and a half, 2 hours to get in. Got settled. Spent a ridiculous amount of money on drinks and snacks.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
But it was all around an all-timer show. After the show, we drove back. We didn't get back in town until about 3:30 a.m., 4 o'clock. I almost hit somebody while we were leaving. Mm-hmm. Good time.
Yeah, great time. Got that guy. So I tell you, I got hit by a car leaving SummerSlam. Let me tell you about it.
We'll be talking about us.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about us.
Because we're here. We're now. And this is the OBQ Podcast.
Today. It's not today. No, it's tonight.
Tonight.
It's Thursday, and Thursday is the day of the week, and this week is No Disqualifications Podcast.
Yeah, buddy.
Thank you, Logan Paul. Let's hop into it.
First, we have, you know, Tyson Neal, world ambassador.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you want to do the match first. So
he comes out, and there's a nice little video package to hype up being in the country music city.
Yeah.
And the music city, and then, you know, Tyson Neal comes out, and he's trying to do as much good stuff as he can, because since the last time we talked to you guys, there's a new chairman. Vince is retired. He paid a bunch of women off.
Yeah.
You can read about that somewhere else. We're not a news channel, but that's what's happened. But yeah, first match tonight, Raw Women's Championship, Bianca, Becky.
Big time.
What are your opinions, man? We'll give both the live opinion and you know what we think about the match in general.
I'll say this to save you guys a lot of time. Granted, we did go there. We watched the match live. So I'll just cut right to it. The match, to me, it started out really slow. You know, nice big stage, you know, both women, you know. They'd be on bigger stages. Not saying, you know, WrestleMania, what the hell, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. But that stuff tends to get to people. You know, it's a big stage. Bianca Belair, she's hometown. Well, hometown favorite, you would say. Nashville, Knoxville, same difference.
Mm-hmm.
Match started out pretty slow. They got going. Bianca seemed to, I guess we just say, glam slam Becky Lynch on her shoulder. She felt awkward. She favored it. They went outside the ring. Bianca tried to hit a KOD on Becky on the barricade. Becky reversed it, pulled her to the barricade, hit a leg drop, which was pretty dope. They went back into the ring, got picked up pretty good. She had a man slam. Belair hit a KOD, went to the top rope, hit a you call that?
She hit a Spanish fly.
Yeah, Spanish fly. And that's how
and
she
then
won.
She hit that KOD after that Spanish fly. She put some energy on that one. That was one of those KODs where she got her over. And for that moment, it's like time stopped for a second. She put all her force in slamming down that KOD. But no, she retains her championship. And then we hear after Becky and Bianca shake hands, we hear Bayley's music. And the crowd pops. Like, I don't know what you hear. You always wonder what it sounds like when you're there compared to what's on TV and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And the crowd was loud for it.
Yeah, the crowd went crazy.
And then the crowd progressively got louder because after that, Dakota Kai, mm-hmm. who was released from her contract back in April, mm-hmm. she came out. And then keep in mind, this is the first time Bayley's been seen on TV since July of 2021. It's been over a year at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have Io Sky. Formerly known as Io Shirai. Mm-hmm. Io Sky comes out here. She hadn't been seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And then Becky gets in the ring. She sides with Bianca. And this is the first time Becky Lynch has been a babyface since May 2 years ago.
Yep.
So Bayley and then Bayley Sky and Dakota Kai retreat. And then, Lynch and Belair kind of show respect for each other, and they go on to a little commercial break.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting here. They haven't given a faction name for Bayley's group, mm-hmm. but it looks like they're going to go with Control. I think that's interesting. I think they need one more person. That faction would be kind of cool. But nonetheless, all around, man, I would give this match a 3 bells. If we're not factoring in returns, which I think we discussed, we don't factor in returns.
Yeah.
3 for me.
Yeah, we'll go side 3. Me personally, the only problem I had with the whole return, I feel like Bayley should have been introduced last. You know what I'm saying? If she was the main leader, which she is, she let Kai, Shirai, and then Bayley.
They should have had Io and Dakota jump the railings or whatever, jump the barricades and rush in, and then all of a sudden Bayley's music hits.
Yeah.
And then she comes out, and that's the big moment. They have her cornered.
Right.
They have Bianca cornered, and then Becky slides in with a chair or something, mm-hmm. and they take off. That'd have been interesting, but
nevertheless,
it's hindsight. Today is August 11th, and I can tell you from SummerSlam to August 11th, they've booked Bayley's group great.
Yeah, most definitely. Triple H doing a hell of a job.
Being that he's now head of creative, so yeah, that's something else that we haven't touched on because it's been a month.
Yeah.
This is the longest we've gone without producing a podcast. So,
right.
Put you in perspective here. Next up, Logan Paul versus The Miz.
Mm-hmm. For me, Logan Paul really had this match where he showcased his his ring awareness. They start the match off. Miz just, he's pushing around. He's fake kicking him and smacking him in the head. Logan Paul's like that scared rookie. You know what I'm saying? This is his first match, big stage. And, he answered. He answered the call. Granted, last WrestleMania, there was a team together. And the Miz turned on him. You're not stealing my spotlight. I'm the Miz. I'm awesome. Mike was asking him, damn it. So, fast forward to Nashville. Logan Paul says, okay, I see you. And I raised my athleticism because that's what he did. I'm talking about he's doing freaking blockbusters off the middle of the road.
Cross bodies, standing moonsault. This guy was
Irish whips. He was all over.
He was a high school athlete. He was like a high school collegiate wrestler. Mm-hmm. Ciampa gets booted, but he's like, "No, I'm not leaving." AJ Styles comes over the barricade, mm-hmm. chases him out. Then Logan Paul hits a phenomenal forearm. I think it's really good that commentary was like, he just learned this move. That's why it doesn't look good. That's why it was only a 2-fall.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. I like that. And then The Miz attempts to hit Logan Paul, but then he gets tossed out to the outside. Logan hits a frog splash on The Miz through the announce table.
So,
Miz comes back in while Maurice is distracting the ref. He tries to hit Logan Paul with this Pokemon card necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Paul moves. Maurice is almost hit. Logan Paul takes advantage. Skull crushing finale.
1, 2, 3.
Some dope shit for real. It was a 4 for me.
Yeah, it was a 4. 4.5. Logan Paul really did justice. His first singles match on a big stage. It's not a freaking house show where they're trying to warm you up and then turn you loose on Monday Night Raw or SummerSlam, whatever the case may be. First big match. No assistance. He wasn't tagged up with anybody. He held his own. And this match was third in time in length on the whole show. This match was 14 minutes and 15 seconds. Bianca and Becky match was 15, and obviously the main event was damn near 30 minutes. So, pretty pretty good time for Logan Paul and The Miz. I give it a 4 as well.
Next year, we have Bobby Lashley defending his United States Championship against Theory. Mm-hmm. A-Town Down. During Lashley's entrance, Theory attacks him with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Mm-hmm. About halfway through the match, Theory attempts to walk away. He says, screw it. I don't need this. I got a briefcase. I'm chill. Lashley intercepts him. He hits him with a running power slam. And when he goes for the spear, Theory jumps over him. And in the end of the match, however, Lashley applies that hurt lock for the win. Lashley retaining. And Theory tapped out like right away. As soon as he got locked in, he tapped out. 2 seconds.
That's been a thing for Theory. When he gets put in that hurt lock, he's going ahead and he's tapping it out. Like damn, like not that he was a former United States champion. You're currently Money in the Bank holder. So.
And now you're just a beta.
Pretty weak showing in submissions by Theory. Like, who's to say Reigns won't put him in a freaking guillotine? He'll tap out in 0.5 of the damn move. Like, who's to say freaking, well, may not see Lesnar again, but put him in a Brock lock, he taps out. Or a freaking Kimura lock, he taps out. So Theory should work on the submission resistance to me. But other than that, he's all right, guy. But getting back to the match at hand, I'll give it a 3, 2.5. It was pretty quick. You know, Lashley showed his dominance, as should. You know, he's getting pretty stable as a United States champion. So, as of right now, don't seem like anybody should be taking that from him. But who knows if Triple H brings all these new NXT guys back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving
on your toes, Lashley.
I'm giving him a 2. I think the presentation of Lashley was great. I think they need to find something for Theory. They need to find something that's going to feels inspired, I guess. Something that is just giving him something to do besides getting his ass beat week in and week out and looking like a dumbass. I get it. That's kind of his character, but we need more than just that every week.
Yeah, especially when you're holding the, you know what I'm saying, the contract to the Holy Grail.
Yeah, and you're expecting me to believe that you're going to cash in on Roman?
I mean, he's
or
just...
Drew or Karrion?
Yeah, I was getting to that point.
And you just look stupid. Now, maybe they're doing the whole thing where, like, hey, they're making him look like he's not that big of a threat, so the surprise is even bigger. Mm-hmm. But then those things don't equal out, really. You can't make me not believe in the guy. And then him get a fluke win and believe him as a champion.
Right. He's far behind. I mean, you still got – I mean, like you said, just look at the list.
He's a year.
You got Roman. There's no official word on Lesnar yet. Like you said, McIntyre, Cross – Who's to say Edge and the Doomsday, you know, feud thing doesn't end anytime soon, and he wants the title shot. You got Seth. It's a lot. You got Cody Rhodes sitting on the sideline.
Cody, yeah.
In theory, he's not in, but I'm not saying Theory's not good. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, as far as taken seriously, he's definitely at the bottom of this.
Belief. I mean, I would believe that Montez Ford's champion before I believe Theory's champion.
Yeah, Montez Ford's.
We'll get into that soon. What's to come about that? But next we have the Mysterios and the Judgment Day in a no disqualifications match. Mm-hmm. Man, I gotta say there wasn't any. I talked about being inspired and having something that's uninspiring. There just wasn't anything here.
Yeah, it's not the match. I'm sorry. This feud is being drug out too long. And like you said, the difference between TV and being there live, the crowd wasn't, like you said, all that into it until the return of the Rated R Superstar Edge himself, you know, who Judgment Day betrayed for Finn Balor. But the match itself, I mean, it was not everything going through sequence, you know, going over the notes. Everything just, you know, keep it real basic. Reverse here, reverse there. Dominic didn't get too much action. If anything, he probably just got his ass beat by Damian Priest and Finn Balor. Like, it was just like a typical tag team match.
Nothing fancy. Nothing crazy happened. The same thing about
the sidelines, picking her parts where she gets her to
do. I feel the same way about Dominic. I feel the same way I feel about Theory. If you want me to believe this kid can do something, show me he can do something.
Right.
He has natural talent. He was trained by his dad. It's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. Give him some charisma. Give him a character. Add some depth to the character of Dominic Mysterio. He shouldn't just be, oh, I'm Rey's son.
Yeah.
What am I getting out of that? I mean, the kid's like 25 years old. He has he's 25. Mm-hmm. All the potential in the world. 6'1", 200-pound, 25. I mean, your dad's Rey Mysterio. You debuted in 2019. You got Rookie of the Year in 2020. You ranked 147 out of 500 singles wrestlers in 2021. Wow. You're a single one-time SmackDown champion, and he was a tag team of half the year. They gave him award for that. The potential.
Yeah, it's potential.
And thank God that Vince McMahon is not in charge anymore. And I think Triple H can really, and I mean this, help with showing Dominic's potential.
Yeah, it's very possible. We just got to start with not getting his ass beat by Rhea Ripley. And then
we need a
can finally do something. Like, throw him into Dom the Intercontinental title of the United States title. Like, just give him.
Let Dom turn on Rey. Let them have a little feud leading to, like, Extreme Rules or something. Mm-hmm. Have Finn Balor and Damian Priest either split Judgment Day up or just really push full force on, like, just causing chaos.
Yeah.
Because that episode before SummerSlam, when it was Rey Mysterio Appreciation Night and literally Dom got murdered.
The whole night.
When, like, literally Rey gets beat down and Dom gets dragged out by his head by Rhea Ripley. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And what we don't need is seeing Finn Balor continually doing the whole I'm going to hit the Three Amigos shit. To, like, upset Rey. Nonetheless, double 619. Rey hits a frog splash to win after Edge reappears as, like, a mixture of, like, the Brood and the Rated R Superstar. Mm-hmm. I think the return does count in this match since it was during the match.
Yeah, no DQ. Yeah, tag team match.
It's a 3.5.
Yeah, I'll go 3 just because at the end of the turn, I'll give that a half, but. The match itself, like you said, really didn't keep us interested in hell. We was just sitting there like, oh, yay, boo, yay. You know, this is just typical wrestling match. So I give it a 3. But to prove your point even more, yes, Dominic needs to go singles or, like you said, do something productive. Because, damn, man, he's getting beat.
Send him to NXT. Week. He can go to NXT. Work with Legado del Fantasma. Do something. We need something besides the Dom that we're seeing now because it's just not working.
Right.
Next, we have Happy Corbin and Pat McAfee. What do you think about this match, man?
I will say this to start. This will probably be the last time you see Pat McAfee with football season coming up. So, granted that. Happy Corbin comes out. As we was walking around the stadium, you know, prior to it, we kept hearing the bum ass Corbin. We was like, what the hell is that? But you can only see so much because they had the stadium taped off with plastic tape all over the freaking gates and stuff like that. Come to find out, it's a choir from freaking South Nashville Baptist Church, and they're singing bum ass Corbin while he's walking down to the ring. And you get the Pat McAfee, the Indianapolis Colts, let's go. Oh, everybody's hyped to get into it.
Is the whole let's go thing, is that just something he does? I didn't know if it was like a football thing that I didn't know about. I don't give a sideways shit about the Colts.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about them.
I mean, he's a punter at the end of the day, so I'm pretty sure. But yeah, him and Corbin was roommates when they was both trying out for the Colts. That's a little backstory. But we get to the match. Corbin's doing his thing early on. He's trying to give it to McAfee, but McAfee just seems like damn near unfazed. Like, I don't know if it was the no sale was there or we've seen these guys go at it week in, week out so many times. Freaking Corbin's attacking him behind the announce table. Mm-hmm. He's kicking the shit out of him. At Money in the Bank, he accepts his challenge. He blindsides the shit out of him.
Beats his ass.
Yeah, he beats his ass like off the air, like while through. He's still on the ladder on the Money in the Bank briefcase. But it was a pretty good match. McAfee showed some athleticism. A lot of close missed bodies. He slipped on the turnbuckle a couple times.
Almost, hey, maybe you need to go back and look at what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I feel like he was very much rushing. You know what I'm saying? He had a spot where he knocked Corbin outside the ring over the apron. And McAfee goes up top to do like what you just call a crossbody or a swanton. I believe it was a swanton.
Yeah, he went to do a swanton on the outside.
He stood up, I guess, to the taunt and whatnot.
He went, oh, and then he got hold of it and did it.
He went forward.
Corbin didn't get a full grasp on him when he was coming down, and a lot of McAfee hit the ground.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. But I do give it to McAfee. You know what I'm saying? He's a football player by God. So for him to do this at that high of a stage, I give it to him. Granted, the nerves is there. Like I said, it's freaking 50,000 people. Like, who's not going to be nervous? He's been doing this for the past 5, 10, 15, 20 some odd years. And him and Logan Paul really opened my eyes as the athleticism that these guys can have. But it was a good match. McAfee got the win. He went, there's a spot where him and Corbin, they bumped. Corbin hits the referee. McAfee's looking like, oh, remember you hit me in the nuts last week? So he kicks him in the nuts. Freaking Corbin crawls over to the corner. McAfee gives him the good old DX, suck it. Hits him with the sunset flip powerbomb for the 1-2-3. Corbin wins. I give it a 3.
Slides out of the ring. Finishes a beer from one of the fans.
Yeah. That may have been beer. May have not. I mean, we're going to assume before, you know, it was.
Corey Graves on commentary. So the last time I was drinking on the job, I had to sit at home for 2 weeks. My Cole was like, yeah, well, that was a different story.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there's something happened.
Speaking of Corey Graves, yeah, he rolls out. Freaking Corey Graves shots to give him a high five to Corey Graves sucked as well.
He daps up Michael Cole. Michael Cole during the commentary. Corey Graves said to Michael Cole, I liked you better when you didn't think for yourself.
Yeah.
And Michael Cole said, well, things have changed. A lot has changed. I said, oh, shit. We're in the Michael Cole era of just saying anything he wants. And we'll get to the main event, which backs up that. But he is like, bro, I'm Michael Cole. Everybody's been hating on me for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how good I am. And you know what? He's pretty damn good. He's pretty damn good.
Oh, Michael Cole. Remember the era where Friedman had the novice general manager at the damn computer? And I forgot, it may have been Jericho or Edge. And he goes, shut the hell up, Michael Cole.
It was Edge, yeah. He said, I will stop. He said, if you read that email, I will spear. And Michael Cole was like, ladies and gentlemen, I have a message from our novice yet.
Yeah, for you chasing out the damn arena, Michael
Cole. And Jericho said, just wait, you stupid idiot. I was like, we all know you're home. Yeah.
All the times.
Good times. After this, Drew McIntyre comes out and cuts a promo where he talks about his undisputed WWE Championship match, a clash at the castle, which we will review. Mm-hmm. And, you know, McIntyre makes some jokes about the main event. And he said, you know, this is the first time ever we're seeing Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in Nashville, in Nissan Stadium, last man standing. In front of Cole, and this kid's everybody's like, everybody started chanting Cole. Yeah, it was a good little moment. It reminds you that it helps you. Some people on the internet didn't like it, but I like that it sets up. It reminds everyone there. Okay, yeah, whoever wins this, that's great. Drew has next.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So, yeah.
If Karrion Kross doesn't beat him some odd way.
Things have changed a little bit. The landscape's changing.
Yeah, the landscape has definitely changed.
As we speak, the landscape changes. But next for the Unified Tag Team Championship, we have the Street Profits. We want the Smoke versus We the Ones, the Usos. Mm-hmm. Man, Jeff Jarrett's the special guest referee.
Sadly.
We both really talked about that Money in the Bank match and how great that was. I think we both gave it 5s.
Yes.
But this one was different, man. Yeah. This one was it was missing a spark.
Yeah, most definitely. It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't exciting. Well, granted, you know, there's ladders flying around and tables and all that type of shit, but you definitely hit the nail on the head right there. It missed that. I mean, you got your typical, your double super kicks, right? So you got your frog splash. You got freaking Montez and Angelo jumping through the ropes. Like, it just wasn't enough. It should have been a no DQ. I mean, you got your special guest referee, Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't enough. Like, it just
it didn't feel like he was a factor.
Yeah,
we were sitting there. He was. Yeah, I felt like kind of slow for someone, kind of fast for someone, and kind of back and forth with it. Mm-hmm. But so the issue with the Money in the Bank match was poor refereeing.
Yeah.
So what they do is they get someone who's not a referee and make him a referee.
Another poor.
So they said, hey, Jeff Jarrett, you're not a referee, so you don't know the rules of it. We're having a hard time with referees enforcing the rules. can you do this job? It's like me coming to a bakery and saying, hey, we've had some really shitty bakers. Our bakers can't bake properly. So I brought this crackhead in off the street. He's going to be a baker. There's no logic there.
Yeah, it just
that's missed. A Vince thing.
And I feel like majority of wrestling fans are kind of tired of seeing themselves retain night in, night out. Like you said, Roman Reigns hasn't been pinned in so long.
900 days.
So, yeah, that's fucking, almost 3 years. So, if you take that into account, the Usos are a good team. I'm not taking anything away from the Usos, but you got to have this thing in the back of your head saying, well, damn, how many times are they going to the Street Profits lose? Well, damn, if Montez, he's getting so freaking jacked up, he's lifting, he doesn't miss leg day, he damn sure doesn't miss arm day. Is he going to go single? What is Montez going to do? Because Angelo, between the two, he's the weaker link. Let's be honest here. Angelo's the weaker link of the two. He's good. So he's good. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah. But he's the weaker link. Just to clarify, it doesn't mean he's bad.
Yeah.
This isn't Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty.
Right.
This is like Eddie and Chavo. Chavo is fine.
Yeah.
He's just not Eddie.
Yeah, like Eddie. Yeah, Eddie would be world contender. Chavo, cruiserweight. That's his thing. Cruiserweight championship. Mid-card, United States, Intercontinental. Eddie, world heavyweight. WWE, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, it was just – I don't see how many times they're going to let these guys keep losing. And, like, you can see it on Montez's face after every match. He's pissed. He's damn sure pissed. Because they don't zoom in on Angelo Dawkins. They always zoom in on Montez. Montez is pissed. Even Monday – when freaking Montez is trying his best to distract Seth, somehow Angelo still gets curb stomped twice and loses the fucking match. So,
meanwhile, where's Montez? Well, Angelo's getting stomped that second time.
Right.
Okay. But the week before, when Montez is getting stomped,
yeah.
Where's Angelo? He's there.
Right.
Montez is tired of it.
Yeah, man. It's one of those.
He's going to take a break and make some kids or something like that.
I pray for the Street Profits. But back to the match. Like I said, real typical. Didn't have really too much pop. They hit the double super kick.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Montez who gets thrown over the ropes. He's hanging on for dear life. Freaking Angelo does a suplex or whatever.
He also hits that. Poster. He hits that. He picks him up for the suplex and turns into a neck breaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
He tags Montez and Montez is looking around like, am I posted? I'm in. Like, that's what I do. He goes to the top. He hits one of the most beautiful frost I've ever seen in my life.
And cradles his ribs forever.
He does the whole RVD seal. So he gets the frost. He's rolling around, grabbing his ribs. Rolls over and good old country old Jeff Jarrett gives him the one, two, and Uso shoulders comes up and he's pissed. I'm telling you, he's hollering from here to fucking Murfreesboro. You can hear Montez, he's pissed at Jeff Jarrett. God damn it, that's three motherfucker counting shit. So, nevertheless, they get Montez out the ring one more time, get the 1D on Angelo, and that's the ball game. Uso's retained.
3.5, man.
I give it 3.5. I feel like their matches are good, but like you said, this match missed that.
We need a new tag team. Under Triple H, I believe he can, because he did it in NXT.
Yeah.
Tag team renaissance. That's what they need. They need to build their division back up. Look at the teams you got. You got the Viking Raiders, New Day, Street Profits, Alpha Academy, Usos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's other ones. I'm sure I can't remember. I'm blanking on them right now.
Hell, you can call some Omos and MVP together. Hell,
yeah, call some people up. Bring some up. You still got Benjamin and Alexander. Supposedly, they're going to do a tag team with Mustafa Ali and possibly Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors they're doing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn possibly after Sami Zayn gets kicked out of blood. You need to build that tag division. The women's division is deep.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah,
world title team is deep now.
Yeah.
United States Championship, they proved they care about that one now.
Yeah.
Intercontinental Championship, it looks like it's going to get taken care of. Let's build that tag division back up.
Most definitely.
And before we get to the Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey match, we'll be right back after a quick sponsor. All right, we're back. It's now a SmackDown Women's Championship match. We have Ronda Rousey versus the champion Liv Morgan.
Yay.
What a short match. Short and I don't want to say disappointing.
No, it wasn't disappointing.
This was a match to tell a story. It wasn't a match to have a work rate. This isn't your AJ and John Cena. This isn't your Seth and whoever. This is to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did here. Liv got tossed around like a sack of potatoes. Got her arm yanked around the ring. She's put in three different arm bars. She had a few of her moves. Mm-hmm. On that final arm bar, she rolls around on her back, and as the ref is counting three, Liv is tapping out.
Yeah.
So it makes Ronda look strong. It makes Liv look like a bitch.
Pretty much.
And Liv keeps her title. Ronda turns heel, attacks the referee, attacks Liv Morgan. Mm-hmm. The match was like 4.5 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing else to say about it. It was literally 4 minutes and 35 seconds of just
Yeah, if you guys have been listening to the podcast over the past couple weeks, ever since she got her title at Money in the Bank, Morgan just bores me. Like, it just, I don't know, man. She's not it. She don't have it, the physical factor.
Mm-hmm.
She's a damn sure great entertainer if that's what you want to go by. But physically, I'm not going to get in the ring if I'm a woman and say, oh, Liv Morgan, I'm in for a fight tonight. Like just be realistic. Now the prior Diva Revolution, Evolution, however you want to call it, maybe. You could probably go at that. Candice Michelle, freaking Tori Wilson. Like, it's like Playboy Bunnies. I'm just going to be honest, cut to the chase. Playboy Bunnies, okay? You fast forward to the day, freaking Bayley, their new faction. Sky, Kai, Belair, Becky, Charlotte may return, Ronda, freaking, I know Sonya Deville, she was a former MMA fighter, but Shayna Baszler, like, come on now, like, let's keep it real with each other. I can't. Liv Morgan, I loved her when she was with the Riot Squad or whatever. She was okay. She played her role.
Not believable.
I can't get behind it.
And you can build her to become believable. You can do that. There's a way to make her go from being, oh, just Liv Morgan that gets kind of like thrown around and like, you know, smaller than everybody type of deal. Mm-hmm. You can make her into something that's believable.
It's like Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. Alexa Bliss used to run shit on freaking NXT when she first got called up to the main roster. She was running shit. She was believable. She had that aggressive side. Liv Morgan does not have that aggressive side. Her freaking finishing move is assisted off the rope. It's a freaking face buster off the road.
She's just...
It's not a man slam. It's not a KOD. It's not a fucking a glory slam like Victoria used to have. It's not a Trish kick. It's not a Mickey DDT. It's not nothing impactful. You're sitting at home. You say, oh, you know what? I really could not kick out of that if I got dropped on my head. She's doing a
complete shot that Shelton Benjamin did.
Yeah.
And she's using the rope. She's just not believable. It's not even a knock on her. I'm not knocking her, but when you're given a championship, you take the ball, you run with that, you do what you can with it. Okay,
like Bianca, she's aggressive.
Bianca took. They said we're putting the strap on you, and what did she say? Okay, I'm gonna run with it. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. I might not be the best, which if we're being honest here, this could be where we were raised. I don't know if it applies to you. I'm used to hearing girls talk like Bianca.
Yeah.
So it annoys me.
Yeah.
So I hear her talk, it annoys me. Now, before anyone comes on these comments, oh, that's racist. I grew up in the east side of Knoxville.
Yep.
When you hear girls talk, and she's from the East Knoxville, so when you hear girls talk with the East Knoxville type of like, it just,
it gets to you.
But she makes up for it in the ring.
Yeah, she's a damn great wrestler.
You know, hearing the whole, I'm the best, that gets tiring, but she makes up for it. She proves why she says what she says. Mm-hmm. That being said, she decided to prove herself. Liv Morgan is okay in the ring.
Yeah, she's okay.
She's okay on the mic. You got to pick one, and you got to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Becky wasn't the greatest in the ring, but she showed up on the mic. Mm-hmm. Bayley's pretty much both, but you get what I'm saying. Sasha's the same way. Sasha, in my opinion, is not great on the mic, but she's fantastic in the ring.
Yeah.
Asuka can't speak English. as far as kayfabe, she can't.
Yeah.
But she makes up for it in the ring. She has charisma.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah, the house show, when they came here, is Alexa Bliss, not Alexa Bliss, I'm sorry, Liv Morgan. She was fighting somebody. It was just like, you just hear a pin drop. the freaking stage, the freaking supposed to play. It was just quiet. Mm-hmm. And then the freaking Liv Morgan does her signature comeback move, and she yells, she screams, whatever, and everybody finally gets into it because she screams like, what the hell? Like, we've been sitting here.
We need fire from the beginning from you.
Yeah.
Gotta make yourself believable. I gave it a 1.5.
I give it 2 for my love of Ronda Rousey, but like I said, this has to change.
She only got a 0.5 from me because it offered me a story.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Now we get to our main event.
Main event from Pensacola, Florida. Weighing in at 265 pounds, accompanied by Paul Heyman, your tribal chief.
As Drew McIntyre Big would say. As Drew McIntyre would say, the tribal queef.
The tribal queef.
This man said that on Fox.
Roman Reigns. And then it's a 5-minute delay because, you know, Brock Lesnar, he's on cowboy time. Damn it, we're in Nashville.
He comes out. He's walking. He's doing his thing. He looks to the right. He goes back. He gets on his tractor. He puts his damn flannel on. He comes out. He stands on top of the bucket of his tractor. He's doing his whole. He's doing the whole thing.
What's the ring announcer name?
Mike Rome.
Mike Rome. Before Mike Rome even gets up,
he said, "Shut your ass up."
Shut your ass up,
you little bitch. He takes the mic. Introduces and says, himself. He says, "And Brock Lesnar's gone." No, he did well. Introducing the cowboy ass kicker. the country boy, the country boy ass kicker. He's going to beat Roman Reigns' ass tonight. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns, no look, catches it with one hand and then winks at him. That is some. If you have a problem with Roman Reigns, you leave that at the door, damn it. Because he caught it, and he winked at him. And as they're doing, which, weirdly enough, Paul Heyman wasn't doing his deal. Mm-hmm. Mike Roman's doing it. Lesnar just jumps off the tractor.
And
attacks him. He starts throwing him the Germans left and right. He hits him with the German on the outside. Heyman distracts Lesnar for a minute because Lesnar's like, I want to beat your ass.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to that in a minute. Reigns then hits a Samoan drop through a table. Mm-hmm. And then they start using pieces of the table.
Yep.
And both these guys are getting up at 6, they're getting up at 7, they're getting up at 8.
They had a spot where they went to the crowd too. They had a spot where it was like the little barricade part. And Lesnar tries to throw, he throws Roman's over and he botches and he tries to, you know, vertical leaps to fucking barricade.
He tried to do the whole, I jump on the ring shit. Yeah, he got up there and lost his balance with Pat McAfee. But he ends up getting in there. And another really, man, it's just, and I hate to sound repetitive, but it's just suplexes and Superman punches around the ring.
Yeah,
they're doing what they do,
but
it's entertaining. So Lesnar puts Reigns in the bucket of the tractor, kind of dumps him into the ring with it.
So gingerly.
Comes in, you know, it's Superman punch, spear, they're trying to keep each other down, and holy shit. Holy shit. Brock Lesnar lifts the ring up with a tractor.
Roman Reigns just goes
like Peter Griffin falling down the stairs. he rolls out of the ring.
Yeah, he sails it. He sails it.
Then we hear A-Town down. A theory comes out. He gets his ass dropped. He's done. He gets dropped.
Yeah,
and then not just does he get dropped.
He smacks Roman with the money in the main briefcase. He tries to cash in his referee, and he realizes the fucking country cowboys just standing right there.
F5, baby.
Concrete.
Then Lesnar gets super kicked by the Usos. But then Heyman's like in the area. And Brock's like, nah, I'm getting you, bitch. And he F5s into the announce table. Said, shit will last.
Freaking Rain finally gets back up. Smacks through with the briefcase. He even, like, it was a hell of a sequence. Hell of a sequence. It was just chaos all over the place.
And not even just smacks him with the briefcase. He does the old handle thing that he did, that one time. And starts beating him with it.
He wails on my
dad. You taking liberties at some point. Reigns spears Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Lesnar gets up at 9. And then. Like I said, he gets beat with the briefcase, still gets up at 9, gets hit with the title, still gets up at 9, and then they start putting shit on top of him, and they stand on top of him while the ref is counting. That's against the rules, you little bitch. But the winner of the match, and still, the WWE Undisputed Universal World Champion,
or Tribal Chief, the one,
Roman Reigns.
I would give the match.
I'm giving it a four.
Yeah,
four. You lived in the room with a tractor. I can't even.
Yeah, that's three bells.
Never been done before.
Yeah, we'll go four. We'll go four. We'll put that with a four.
It's very rare when you can say that's never been done before.
Yeah.
You know, so touch my heart. You want to get to awards? Match of the night.
Do I dare say Reigns and Lesnar?
I'm gonna go with Reigns and Lesnar.
Yeah, I want to give it to Logan Paul and Miz, but yeah, Reigns and Lesnar. Reigns and Lesnar.
Worst match of the night. I think we'll probably both agree on that one too. Ronda and Liv. Yeah, that just we've already said it. So rewind. Listen to what you said, but that's how. I mean, that was the problem.
Yeah.
Good story. Not good action.
Yeah.
Who's your star of the night? Your Kurt Angle of the night?
I give to Logan Paul.
Okay, my Kurt Angle of the night. It's gonna go to Brock. And I never thought I'd say that, but it's gonna go to Brock tonight.
If he would have won, yeah, I'd give it to him. But I mean, he did give a hell of an effort. Hell of an effort.
Your Ryback of the night?
I'm stuck between Jeff Jarrett and Liv Morgan.
I'm going to go with Theory. He just didn't do anything impressive for me, man. That's why I give it to Theory, though.
Yeah.
There are an argument for the both gentlemen. You said there's also an argument for Dom. That match, I forgot that match happened.
I'll give it to Liv.
You can't always be the Kurt Angle. Sometimes there has to be a Ryback.
Yep.
New Jack spot of the night. Brought to you by Coke. Coke, Kane.
I give it to Logan Paul jumping through the table. I wanted to give it to Lesnar, picking up the ring with the tractor. That was pretty fucking dope. That ring exploded when that happened.
I'm giving it to Roman catching the mic. I just don't know why. Like, it's just so
effortless,
smooth. Like the way his hand just—he just went and then didn't look and just winked at him. Like that's the type of shit you see like on Dude Perfect, where dude kicks a soccer ball the length of a soccer field and gets into a basketball hoop. He just goes and then winks. At that moment, if I would have seen that on the screen, I didn't see it till we were in the car.
Yeah.
If I would have saw it on the screen, I'd be like, all right, Roman's winning. And if he does win, he should have. Right. Your Nia Jax, my whole moment of the night. I'm personally giving it to McAfee. There's a good question. I would give it to him.
Yeah, he had a lot of.
When he jumped up, when he tried to jump to the top rope and landed on his knees.
Oh, yeah, the suplex. Yeah.
I'll give him to that one because.
He had a lot of fuck ups. He did.
The balance on the top rope to do the senton was, I get that. That's tough.
I'll say him or Riddle. We didn't touch that segment, I don't believe, but when Riddle was injured, he caught out Seth Rollins, and he comes out and beats his ass, like Curtis Thompson for no reason.
We didn't even talk about that bullshit.
Yeah, it was kind of worthless, but yeah, that's all it was, folks. Just really Riddle running through the crowd. I know I'm injured, I'm not supposed to be here, but Seth Rollins, get your ass out here. And Seth Rollins comes out, he does what he was asked to do, beat his ass. He stomps him in the ring and that's it. But I'll give it to McAfee. I'll give it to McAfee for the double knee on the top rope.
Yeah.
Get your foot together, McAfee. Get your foot together.
All that leg work you do, you should be a little bit better at that. That's neither here nor there. Your final grade?
Considering it being in Nashville.
Considering we were there live.
Considering Laszlo's not here, bastard.
I'm biased. I'm okay with admitting that because it was a live experience that we experienced.
If I was a Titans fan, I would give it a fucking six, but the Titans suck.
I'm giving it a four.
Our experience, this show, Triple H, Vince at the time, because this is pre-scheduled, pre-booked, doesn't give Tennessee enough due diligence with shows. Raw literally comes to Knoxville maybe once or twice a year, maybe. And if we're lucky enough, it's at Thompson Bowl Arena, not the fucking city.
We're going to get two shows next year. Hopefully. One in the beginning of the year, it'll be Civic Auditorium. And then one like either in the summer or in the fall. They'll be at the Thompson Bowling Arena. Yeah, especially since Ken got reelected for another, like, what, 4 years, something like that?
Yeah.
I'm biased. I'm giving it a 4. I got to chant alongside people at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I got to say I was there. It was.
We saw Dwight Howard.
We saw Dwight Howard. He was right beside us.
Good moment. It was good vibes.
I saw Virgil. I met Virgil. I asked Virgil for a picture. He said $25. That's some bullshit.
It was a good moment.
Someone stole my John Cena rag that I bought. So
we stood in line, sweaty, for hours, getting attacked by dragonflies.
Talking shit to people the entire time in line, saying stuff. People in front of us were getting upset.
It was dope. It was a good experience.
It was a good time, and we're going to do it again. We're going to be at day one. Mm-hmm. So now we've said it publicly, and we have to do it, or we're liars.
Yep.
So we're going to be at day one. That's going to be fun.
Only people that lie is last. You don't want to meet him. Right now, him and his brother are somewhere in freaking Davidson County outside Nashville doing God knows what.
Disgusting. Disgusting. Nonetheless, though, what do you give? What says you, sir?
4.
4. All righty. This has been the No Disqualifications Podcast. My name is Adrian.
I'm Tay.
Make sure you follow us on our socials and make sure you leave us a nice 5-star review. Tell your friends, tell your sister, tell that cousin that you give weird looks to at the family reunion. We'll be back again very soon.
Chicka chicka. Boom.